Hello and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast, brought to you today by ExpressVPN. Now, we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but right now we want to get right into it. And what we're going to get into is a topic that I confess I'm getting a little bit obsessed with. It's this question of whether you can impeach and try a former president, whether that's constitutional. Also, whether it's a good idea, but whether it's constitutional. And pretty obvious why I'm getting interested in that. Monday is the day that the House managers deliver the single article of impeachment against President Trump to the Senate. There'll be a two-week delay, and then a trial is scheduled to begin for ex-President Trump on February the 9th. Okay. So let's get into this. This is a single, hastily passed article of impeachment. I mean, remember, the House passed this article of impeachment without hearings, without an inquiry, without an authorization, without all of the stuff that goes with due process and the impeachment procedure. But they just did it. They did it in about a minute and a half. And then now they're going to have a trial. So this is absolutely unprecedented. It is an event without precedent. It is the first time in U.S. history that a former president will be tried in a court of impeachment. So if somebody tells you there's a precedent for it, there really isn't. We'll go through some of the things that they cite as precedent for it, but there's no precedent for trying a former president in a court of impeachment. Now, several Republicans are arguing that what Democrats are doing is unconstitutional, that a former president cannot be tried. After all, this is what they say, the impeachment is the Constitution's method for removing a president who's been found guilty of serious misconduct. But Trump cannot be removed. He's already gone. He served out his entire term of office. It ended on January 20th, and he's a former president. That's the facts. Now, the Democrats are going to argue that the Constitution does not specifically say, it doesn't specifically prohibit impeaching a former official. Now, they're going to argue that when Article 2 of the Constitution says, now this is Article 2, it says, quote, the president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors, end quote. Okay, so they're going to say that when the Constitution said that, it did not specifically say you couldn't impeach a former president. So when they say the president in the Constitution, they could have meant the former president. They didn't say it. They didn't say you couldn't do it. And they're also going to argue that when the Constitution talks about the penalty for impeachment, and they say, quote, it shall not extend further than to removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. Okay. When the Constitution says that, it means that even though removal is irrelevant for Trump, and I think they do concede that you cannot remove a president from office who is already out of office, but removal is irrelevant, but they're going to say in Trump's case, the Senate could still, by finding him guilty, bar him from ever being president again. Now, it's a whole other discussion whether Donald Trump would ever run or, if he did, could be elected president again. That's a whole other discussion. I'll tell you right now, I don't think he will or he could. But that's not the issue here. The Democrats want to bar him from future office and say that that's why you can have an impeachment trial. Now, again, there is absolutely no precedent for doing this with a former president. It has never been done. So instead, Democrats are going to point to a single case in U.S. history. And that was a cabinet official, a man named William Belknap, who was the Secretary of War in the 1870s. So in 1876, he was accused of financial corruption. And just by the way, he was very guilty of it. So the House was going to impeach him. And on the morning that the House was scheduled to vote to impeach him, he runs to the White House to see President Grant, and he resigns. And then afterwards, he says, well, wait a minute. You can't impeach a former official, and I'm no longer the Secretary of War, so I'm out of it. You can't impeach me. So the House just goes ahead and does it anyway. So he's impeached, and then it goes to the Senate. So the question with the Senate is, can you impeach a former official? So they have this long debate on it, and they eventually vote 37 to 29. Now, the reason these numbers are 37 to 29 is there were a lot fewer senators at the time. At the time, there were 76 seats in the Senate, and one of them was vacant. So anyway, the Senate votes 37 to 29 that they could try Belknap. So here's this vote. The Senate says, yeah, we can hold an impeachment trial for a former official. Okay. And then they hold a trial, and it's 5 months. I mean, it's a big, long trial. And even though Belknap is clearly guilty, they fail to convict him. Remember, he needs a two-thirds vote to convict. And he's acquitted, and the vote is 37 to convict and 25 not to convict, to acquit. Now, the reason he was acquitted, the reason Belknap was acquitted, was even though he was clearly guilty, there were a sufficient number of senators who believed it was unconstitutional to try a former official. Okay. So, they didn't get to the two-thirds margin, and Belknap is the precedent that Democrats will cite, that this Secretary of War who resigned ahead of impeachment is tried and acquitted. That's the precedent. So, there's a lot more we're going to discuss. Right now, we're going to get a quick word from ExpressVPN, then be right back. Social media and big tech are bulldozing your right to free expression, and they are not going to stop doing it. So the question is, what are you going to do in return? Here's an idea. Instead of letting big tech sites revoke your rights to free speech, why not revoke their right to your data? That's why you should choose to protect your online data by using ExpressVPN. Now, have you ever wondered how free-to-access social media companies make all their money? Well, they do it by tracking your searches, by tracking your video history and everything you click on, and then by selling your data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize, what a word, anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address, and that makes your activity more difficult to trace and to sell to advertisers. Now, ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from eavesdroppers on your network. And it really couldn't be easier to set up. You just tap one button on your phone or your computer, and you are protected. So, if you want to say no to this big tech censorship, go to expressvpn.com/Byron. By visiting my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. So, that is expressvpn.com/Byron. Express.com/Byron to protect your data today. Okay, so we were talking about the Belknap case, and that is what Democrats are going to claim allows them to try former President Donald Trump. But are there any precedents on the other side, you ask? Well, as a matter of fact, there are. There's actually much more precedent for the Congress choosing not to try a former official, and the biggest is the case of President Richard Nixon, who resigned ahead of impeachment in 1974. And once Nixon was out of office, the House ended its impeachment proceedings. But most impeachments in U.S. history, and there haven't been that many, but most of them were directed at judges. Now, there have been a lot of cases that you could see as precedent among judges. Now, I'm going to quote from an article by a Michigan State University law professor named Brian Cault, who wrote an extremely long article on this in 2001. So it wasn't about the Trump matter. It was shortly after the Clinton impeachment. And there were actually some people who wanted to re-impeach Clinton after the Mark Rich pardon. And of course, the Mark Rich pardon was granted on the morning that Clinton left office. So if he had been re-impeached, it would have been as a former president. That never happened. But anyway, Brian Cault in 2001 does write this really long article about what he calls late impeachment, which is a good handy term to describe what's going on. Now, on numerous occasions, I'm quoting from Brian Cault here, on numerous occasions, the target of an impeachment inquiry resigned before the House could take a vote. In every one of those cases, except, of course, Belknap, the House opted not to proceed. Now, in his article, Cault quoted a book from 1992 called Crimes, Follies, and Misfortunes, The Federal Impeachment Trials, by an author named Eleanor Bushnell. And Bushnell wrote that, quote, more than 50 federal judges have resigned while under investigation or after their impeachment had been recommended to the House of Representatives, and further action was not pursued against them. Okay, that's a lot of cases in which somebody was a target for impeachment, resigned, and then impeachment goes away. So the question is, what is the stronger precedent? This is what Republicans are going to ask. What is the stronger precedent? A single case, Belknap, or dozens of cases, including one president, in which Congress decided not to pursue impeachment or trial against a former official? Okay, now let's look at a couple of specific arguments Democrats are going to make. As for the argument that the Constitution does not specifically prohibit the trial of a former president, now, it comes from Article 2 of the Constitution. Remember, it says the president shall be removed from office on impeachment. Okay. So what did the founders mean by president? It's pretty clear, it seems, that they meant president of the United States. The Brian Cault article quotes an argument from the Belknap trial in which one of Belknap's attorneys said, this is about Article 2 of the Constitution, which sets up the executive branch, the presidency. And one of Belknap's attorneys said, quote, the word president appears 14 other times in Article 2. And in every single case, it is undisputed that it refers to the person serving as president, not to the former president. Now, that's true. Although, as an aside, I should say I counted in Article 2, and it looked like it appeared 15 other times, but you can read it yourself and decide. It doesn't change the meaning of this. So anyway, Belknap's attorney said, the word president appears 14 other times in Article 2, and in every single case, it is undisputed that it refers to the person serving as president, not to a former president. Okay. Now, with Trump, the Democratic case will be that in every instance the word president appears in Article 2, it refers to a sitting president, except in the impeachment clause, in which it refers to anyone who's ever served as president. So the word president has one meaning in every usage in Article 2, except the impeachment clause, and at that point it means anyone who's actually served as president. Living or dead, by the way. Now, that would conveniently allow Democrats to do what they want to do, which is try former President Trump. But I think it's a pretty unrealistic reading of Article 2. Now, I have to say here, I should say right now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a constitutional scholar. I'm told that the Constitution should be something that ordinary citizens like me can read and understand. So that's what we're doing here. Now, but there are a lot of lawyers, by the way, in the Senate. I need to get that number. There are a bunch of lawyers in the Senate. When the trial begins, they're going to argue about these matters. And I had a text exchange with one Republican senator over the weekend about this. And so I asked, well, now how are you guys going to argue this? Because this Republican senator agrees with everything I've been saying, that you can't impeach and try a former president. So I asked, well, you know, how are you going to pursue this? What are you going to do? And he made a very simple case. And he said, look, Democrats are going to argue 3 points. I'm going to quote from him here. Quote, point one, the founders didn't explicitly say in the Constitution that you couldn't impeach a former official, and the English did it. Two, still quoting here, we want to be able to impeach former officials both for, quote, accountability, and so they can't thwart impeachment by resigning. And three, still quoting here, a majority of the Senate said they had this power in Belknap, so they must have this power. Okay, so that's what the Republican senator, who will be part of this whole impeachment argument, said. And he continued, very weak arguments, and none answer what will be most Americans' common sense and correct take. Why are they trying to convict and remove a guy from office who left office last week? Now, the question in the Trump trial, or the question really before the Trump trial, will be that question. I don't know whether popular emotions will be so intense beginning on February 9th that one side or the other will have to go with popular opinion. I do believe Democrats are going to pursue this all the way to the end, and they have the barest of majorities in the Senate, so they're going to do what they want to do. Obviously, only one Republican senator, Mitt Romney, has voted to remove President Trump from office. He did it on one article of impeachment in the first Trump impeachment, and none of the other 50 have. I would expect that would change, that somebody's going to vote beyond Mitt Romney, who, by the way, does not say right now how he would vote. I'd be shocked if he did not vote to convict Trump. So we don't know where the other Republicans are going to go. It seems unlikely that they would get 17 Republicans to agree with the 50 Democrats to get them over the two-thirds number needed to convict the former president, but we don't know. But we do know that these arguments will be aired pretty thoroughly. And that's a good thing, because you've got to remember, this is unprecedented. Nobody has ever tried to impeach a former president. And for that matter, nobody's ever voted an article of impeachment in 10 minutes the way the House did. It really wasn't 10 minutes. They did it in a day, and they gave it a couple of hours of pro forma debate, but didn't do anything else other than that. But anyway, nobody has done an instant presidential impeachment the way Democrats did on January 13. So this is really uncharted territory, and it's something we ought to think about pretty carefully before we do it. And will Donald Trump have receded into the rearview mirror by February 9th? It's not really very long since he left the presidency, or not. It's just impossible to tell. But I'm clearly going to be reading and thinking about this as much as I can in the next few weeks. And I think you should, too. So thanks again for joining us today. And we hope you'll join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.
Ricochet. Join the conversation.